I'm going to invite to the pulpit Neil Roberts. Many of you know that Neil and about four or five other people are, as far as I'm concerned, they kind of champion the prayer around here. There's a Tuesday night prayer meeting that Neil leads along with Griff, and I know Nancy Webb is here most of the time, and others. Forgive me if I don't know exactly who all is here, but these are the guys that are very, very consistent and faithful. And I asked Neil if he would mind to come up and share a few things with you tonight and introduce a video that we want you to look at with us tonight. Because tonight is all about us just being the Claremore Assembly of God family, reinventing, renewing, and reinvesting in what prayer really is and where we want to go with prayer. And, you know, as a pastor and as a preacher, it's my job, it's my resume, so to speak, to get up here and say these words. But this has to be something that we do and not something that just a preacher talks about, because the commitment that we're looking for is for me as well as anyone else. So, Brother Neil, if you wouldn't mind to come up, I appreciate your heart, appreciate your life, and God bless you for being a part of this. Hey, let's make sure he's really welcome. Let's give him a hand, all right?
Unaccustomed as I am up here. How many went to Pensacola on the bus? A few of us? Pensacola was a revival that had its beginning in London in a Church of England church. Ken Gott, there's a whole book, maybe there's a video in our library about it. He was an Assemblies of God presbyter in Newcastle on Tyne. And he had an attitude that revival couldn't happen in the Anglican Church. The AOG owns the Holy Spirit. And so there's a whole interesting testimony about his story. And the revival that happened in the Holy Trinity Brompton in London is still going on today. Pensacola revival has ended. HTB is still going. Occasionally, I go out on the website and I look and see what's going on over there. And the video that we'll be watching shortly is on their website, and it's all about prayer. They are hosting 24/7 prayer revivals around the world. They have different categories of people who participate in the prayer groups. They have a group called the Furnace. If you're in the furnace, it's 4 hours. Right? Minimum 1 hour. They take it serious. It's pretty awesome. I'm not going to talk a whole lot about that. I'm not going to reiterate some of the things that happened on that face-to-face meeting that I went to in that service. It definitely changed my life. I felt things and saw things. That still today affect me. Forgive me. However, how many pastors do we have here, ordained pastors? 1, 2, 3. Several others, maybe. How many board members are here? Any? Past? If you were a board member at some point, there we go. At this awesome meeting that I was in Holy Trinity Brompton, Pastor Owens had asked me, if you get the chance to go there, ask them to pray for this church. This church. And so, in the early hours of one morning, I'm standing before this vicar asking him to pray for this church. And he held me by both hands and he spoke these words. You tell the pastor to stand in the river. You tell the pastor to have the men around him. Stand in the river with him. You tell the pastor he is to encourage the congregation to get into the river. You tell the pastor he is to encourage the people to come more often to the river. You tell the pastor he is to encourage the people each time they come to go out a little deeper and stay a little longer. You tell the pastor these things. Pastor, you've been told. And I'm just going to say, roll that video. Thank you.
Advertising executive came down to talk to me after a service, and he had just become a Christian. I had baptized him at the church, and so, and he said, I just can't make time for a meeting with God. He said, you have no idea what it's like to commute downtown every day, and you live in a different world. I just can't fit that kind of thing into my life. And I remember looking at this young guy, hard-charging young guy, and I said, here's my experience, and I'm not, you know, I'm only like 24 years old, so there it is. I said, I've always been able to make time for stuff I value. Just how my life works. If I value something, I'll make time to experience it. If I don't, I won't. And I'm making time for a meeting with God in my life. You do it any way you want. And he wasn't too happy with me that day, I don't think, and I didn't see him for a while, and then afterwards, I saw him many months later, and when he came down to talk to me, his countenance was different. He felt different. His conversation was different, and he invited Lynn and me. He and his wife invited Lynn and me to go over to their house for dinner, so we accepted. He lived right in the area, and so we go over to their house, and as we're kind of just having some appetizers beforehand, he takes me over to a rocking chair. And he says, you know how you challenged me to have a meeting with God and to just to make the time? He said, I love rocking chairs, so I bought a good one. And you said that maybe if you're going to make this repeatable and enjoyable, you should look at some scene or vista that you enjoy looking at. And he said, I've got a little backyard here, and I love looking over the backyard. So he said, I just bought this chair, and I put it at my favorite window where I can overlook the backyard. And he said, I got up a half hour earlier, 15, 20 minutes, half hour earlier each day, the last several months. I sit in the chair, I have a cup of coffee, and he goes, I read God's word, I try to make sense of it, I ask him to speak to me by his word, then I meditate on it, reflect it, apply it to my life, then he said, I write some thoughts down in a journal and I pray that I will be more aware of his presence in my life. And I said, how's that going for you? And his wife jumped in and said, I'll tell you how it's going for him. He's a changed guy. What happens to him when he sits in that chair has changed him. He's more centered. He's a more gentle and loving man in our marriage and to our children. I was very impressed with this, that he could show me his chair, that he had taken the time, that he had fashioned a meeting with God that he looked forward to because he liked the chair, he liked the view, he liked the coffee. He was a morning guy, and he fell into this pattern. Many months later, I had coffee with him one time, and he said, I'm thinking about leaving my job in advertising. He said, I think I'm done with that. I said, where'd you get these ideas? And he said, well, in my meetings with God in the chair. He's been putting those thoughts in my mind. I said, what are you going to do? And he said, maybe I'll just help you build the church. I said, well, no one's getting paid around here, you know. And he said, well, I've done pretty well in advertising. I can hold on for a while, and maybe if the church grows, you know, then maybe they can help me and my family in some way. And I said, well, you better go back to that chair and see if God's really in this, because I don't want to take responsibility for your life and all this. And he said, okay, I will, and came back about a month later, and he said, you know, I gave notice that at work, and if it's all the same to you, I'm just going to help you start building the church. You pay me what you can, but it's not a concern of mine. And this guy joined our staff, and I'm telling you, he was a hardworking, energized, joyful, industrious individual that really, really helped our church and was on our staff for many, many years. One of the best staff members in the early days of the church. Then one day he comes into my office and he said, you know, I still do that meeting with God in that chair, that rocking chair. And he said, God's been stirring in my life in my meetings with God. And he said, a friend of mine's starting a brand new church in Colorado. And I think I'm going to pack my family up and move to Colorado. I said, can they support you? He said, no, I'm going to have to go back into the marketplace and make some money because they can't afford anything. And I said, are you ready to do that? And he said, you know, every morning I talk to God about it. And he said, I'm really fired up about it. So we said goodbye to him, and he packed his family up, and he went out, and he went back into advertising, made a lot of money, and gave most of it to the startup church. And it became a fantastic church. And then in that same chair that he moved out to Colorado, sitting at a window in the morning like he had done for many, many years now, he processed a bad medical report he got from the doctor that cancer had come his way. And he kept working, and he kept supporting that church, and he got sicker and sicker. It was a very fast-spreading kind of cancer. And then he was hospitalized, and one of the great losses he felt when he was in the hospital is that he didn't have his chair. And he died quite soon thereafter, and I did his funeral in Colorado. And I was talking to his widow, his wife, at the funeral reception afterwards. I said, that was something about that chair, wasn't it? She said, his whole life changed in that chair. I said, what are you going to do with the chair? And she said, we are going to pass that chair on to our children and on to our grandchildren in the hopes that someone would sit in it like Tom did and have their life transformed. Simple question, gang. Where's your chair? Where do you meet with God? Where do you reflect on his word and open yourself to his power? Where do you become aware of his presence in your life? Where is that? And some of you go, well, you know, I mean, I don't have a nice backyard to look out on. It doesn't work for me. The thing about the unlimited presence of God is that you can meet with him anywhere. Your chair can be anywhere. When we first started, Lynn and I first started taking our summer study breaks in South Haven, that little town on the other side, we rented a one-bedroom cottage in the summer times, and so it was chaos with two kids in that cottage. So I would leave, and I would go to the Burger King in the morning for 30, 40, 45 minutes, sometimes an hour. First booth on the right when you come in the door, Main Street in South Haven. I did that little practice for 9 years. Fiberglass booth in a Burger King. I made some of the most important ministry and personal decisions in my life. Fiberglass booth in a Burger King. To this day, when I drive by that Burger King, I look at it and I go, man, God met me there. There's a carpenter in this church that meets with God every morning in the front seat of his pickup truck, brings a thermos of coffee and his Bible. Half hour before the construction starts, he just sits in the front seat of his pickup truck, absorbs the word of God, meets with God, surrenders himself with God, to God, asks for direction in his life. A young mom that I know goes to Starbucks whenever she can. Corner table, meets with God. Where's your chair? When you meet with a friend, let's say for a lunch, what happens is, if you've connected with that friend, after you leave the restaurant or wherever it is, you think about that friend later on in the afternoon. When you meet with God, you think about him more throughout the course of your day. His presence lingers after the meeting. Where's your chair?
Pretty powerful emphasis, isn't it? And it should be inspiring, and it should help us greatly. It should be very encouraging, and I hope that it is. I just want to tell you kind of where my thoughts are as to where we want to start and let God decide where we end. I told Neil earlier, I kind of put up a little three words that I'd like for us to just kind of go down that road. And so that I could easy remember it, I just titled it PTP. And on Sunday nights, what I'd like to do is I'd like for us to just, you know, present the issue of prayer. That we are presenting it constantly, bringing it out of the closet, bringing it off the bottom of the stack and putting it back on top. We have that opportunity. We can structure our Sunday nights to where we have that privilege to do that. And the other thing is the T stands for teach, that we need to be teaching each other. We need to be teaching the, you know, subject of prayer. It is something that is very innate to most of us because we've always done it. But sometimes we begin to realize, you know, about the only thing I really have down is that prayer over the meals or the urgency to rise to the occasion when it's time to pray. And even at those times, we're worried that is our prayer is going to be sufficient. We feel insufficient because of the lack of consistency. And then the last one is to practice, that I think that we need to put into practice the things that we're teaching and the things that we're presenting. You know, a video like this, you begin to think, wow, you know, I'm inspired, and you wrap that thing up in how many years it was that one man's life is. You think of Bill Hybels and the years that he put in. You know, the thing that we have to be reminded of is that it's not what we do in one whack, it's what we do one whack at a time that will accumulate to be the person that we are. We will be judged not by what we did once. It'll be judged. We'll be judged by once we did what we did once, and what we did once again, and once again, and once again. And I don't think anybody in here is anything but encouraged to do that. In a setting like this, you find full permission and encouragement. There's not a single one of you would look at each other and go, you know, I really don't think that's worth it. I don't know that we can do that. Everyone tonight is fully encouraged to do that. I believe with all my heart. So, I'd like to just give you a couple of things and then say, you know what, let's practice. Practice sounds like we're doing something that we've never done before. I didn't know what else word to use, maybe apply, whatever. But I think that, you know, now's the time for us to realize that it's okay for us to do that. I love the words that Neil talked, and I love that imagery. It was very associated with the Pensacola revival. I was never a part of that revival, but you kept hearing about the river. You kept hearing about the stream of water. You kept hearing about the depth. You kept hearing about people getting involved in that. And it was a fascinating challenge to all of us. So I would just like to encourage us to do this. I would like for us through the month of June to be thinking along these lines, that we would dare to trust God in prayer, to upgrade our prayer, to improve our prayer, to renew our prayer life. I know most of us pray. I'm not here to condemn anybody because you haven't prayed or you don't pray enough. This is not a personal challenge, nor is it a comparison, but it is, I believe, something, an encouragement that we're getting maybe through some video, a little inspiration, and, you know, Neil's words and even the story of Daniel, but I believe it's coming straight from the Holy Spirit, that there's something that God wants to do dynamically in our lives. And there's a lot of things we can upgrade and we can do differently, but I think that somewhere in the privacy of that prayer closet mentality, that God wants to do something just so different and so new and so refreshing that we haven't experienced it in a long time. And it's not creating the old, it's reinvesting in what's happening right now. The second thing is I'd like you to really pray about committing to our Tuesday night prayer meetings. On Tuesday night, this sanctuary is open at 7 o'clock, and I'm just going to ask you to, at least for the month of June, to see, you know what, I am going to really just put some effort into that. Because I'll tell you what happens, you know, I can only imagine the struggle that this gentleman had trying to find a little time to do something he'd never done before and get up earlier. I don't care if you are a morning person, you start getting up 30 minutes early, that's still a big chunk out of your regularly scheduled life. And I realize that Tuesday evenings might go that direction, but I'd just like to encourage you to try it. It's June the 4th, the 11th, 18th, and the 25th. And you know what? I don't think God's afraid for us to say, God, you know, not to dare him, because I just don't see myself going, God, I dare you. But to say, God, could I please be so bold to just ask you to just show me what you will do in a brief amount of time? And then, will you please just be just kind enough to just show me that there's a difference, there's something happening that just makes it so dynamic on a personal basis, but then also collectively with our Tuesday night prayer meetings. But then the last thing is to see what God will do when we start looking at 2 Chronicles 7:14. You remember the admonition there, the encouragement there, is it says that God will do some incredible things if his people will, number one, humble themselves, to just take it on the chin, if you will, and just bite a part of your life off and just chew on it and say, you know, God, I need to invest in you more. There needs to be a time that I need to be with you. He says if they'll humble themselves and if they will pray. He also says to seek their face and then to turn from their wicked ways. You know, I think that we're awesome people, but I can't believe that we're all that God really, really wants us to be. I want to be able to say that I am, and I want to strive for that. I realize that I probably won't be perfect between here and there, but I certainly want to do my best to do so, and I want us to do it together. Amen? Stand with me, if you will. Let me ask Brother John if they wouldn't mind to come and just give us some music during this time. But in just a few seconds, I would like to just have a general word of prayer and then invite you to just come and just flood this altar area and just kickstart this emphasis of prayer through that practice part, to just take the things that you already know and ask God to challenge you. Ask God to just go deep within your heart and say, Father, search my heart, search my life, search my activities, search my schedule, search my intentions, search the things that I'm already doing, and challenge me to be the person that you want me to be and not just the person that I am. Amen? Father, these are bold things that we're saying, bold things that we're asking. And Father, in the midst of this moment right now, we're very encouraged to do that. The application process will be very difficult. Satan will give us all the leeway we need and we want in the context of this service right now to make promises, to see things in our hearts and our minds, to receive things in our spirit. But it is after this, Father, that we need to find the true definition of commitment and loyalty, determination, devotion. And I pray, Father, for the results that we will see. God, we're not doing this to impress you. We're not doing this to better our lives. We're doing this to honor you, to just seek and find out and discover what prayer will do, not just for 1 month, but at least starting with that perspective. 1 month, oh God, giving my life and my heart to you, asking you, oh God, to help us to find, like the gentleman that Bill talked about, a place in your life where we read your word and that you have access to our heart, that you change our lives, that we think about you all day long. I pray, oh God, these things and many, many more, that I don't know the details. I don't know what you need to do in each of life. I don't know what you need to do even in mine, but I am so excited about what this adventure will take us. It's a journey, Father. It's not a destination. This isn't stopping at the end of the month. This is something that we're praying, that you will start a journey of prayer, a journey of time with God, a journey of a life-changing experience. And let us start tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you, as many as you will, to just leave your pew and to just come and find your place. And, you know, choose it carefully, because I have a feeling you're going to be there for the next several Sunday nights in the month of June. And God bless you. When the Lord has released you, when you're done, then please feel free to be dismissed. Amen.